The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what to do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, here with the futurist, the one and only Morton, and with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson. I'm Joshua Adway, and Arathon, this podcast is going to be banana.
I think that's the first thing we got to talk about.
Yeah, RIP to Pat Patterson, you know. I think just one of the more respected in the wrestling industry. You know, the first thing that came to mind was that that is banana. I remember Punk referencing that in so many podcasts and things he's done. Hit him. The Royal Rumble was the first thing you obviously think about with Pat and Mo. You'll have more Morton. You'll have more extensive history to talk about him. But the Rumble with him, his ability to lay out a match, being the Stooges in the Attitude Era. And then just being such a huge part of getting The Rock into WWF at the time and helping train The Rock and everything with that. There's just there's a great documentary that was done on him. Obviously, you know, being one of the first to come out in the entertainment industry at the time. Well, I guess he didn't come out till that in the Legends House, but everyone kind of knew beforehand behind the scenes of what was going on there. And there's some controversial stuff there as well with that. But I'm going to focus on the positive for now of just, you know, just being a great trailblazer in the industry, creating the Rumble, great match finisher, and just sounded like a delight to talk to backstage. Before we get to Joel Mo, I'm more interested in your side of everything with Pat and the history with him.
Well, let's start off with the fact that he was a great worker.
Yeah.
You know, he's first Intercontinental Champion of all time. But, I mean, even before that, back in the San Francisco area, San Francisco, Los Angeles area, Southern California, he was a massive draw. And, you know, he was just a tremendous babyface. And really just when you watch him, if you see his old in-ring stuff, his positioning and timing and psychology and all of that, just perfect. And, you know, much like a Bret Hart, whereas you can see why it is that he became so valued backstage for putting together matches. And you could see that he can visualize them at a level beyond what most other people can do, see everything that's going to happen. And that's what made him such a great finish man. You know, even tonight we saw a Royal Rumble, or we saw a Battle Royal tonight, not a Royal Rumble, but it's influenced by the Royal Rumble. Before the Royal Rumble, you didn't really see multiple storylines being booked and pushed in one Battle Royal. Before the Royal Rumble, I mean, it would just kind of be a fight. Everybody would go out, and towards the end, and if you had any storyline at all, it would happen towards the end with the last few people. And often there was no storyline really at all, just Andre the Giant winning. You know. The way that they're booked now, and you see multiple storylines being pushed forward and everybody kind of getting a spot, that's from the Royal Rumble, and that's one of the major, like, you know, influences of the Pat Patterson had. And yeah, it just you know, stubborn as hell is, you know, one of the things that you've heard said about him multiple times. But beloved, I always, when I think of him, I think of how he's in Vince McMahon's inner circle, but because he's such a man of high integrity, he wasn't in on the screw job of Bret Hart because he had too much, he would have too much integrity to do that. And therefore, you know, he wasn't involved in that. And, you know, he's going to be missed. He made quite an impact on the wrestling scene for sure.
Joel?
I think my big memory of him, just is the Stooges. And then I think you read more about just the finishes, and you read Brett's book, and you read stuff about Patterson, and then you read, you just hear more and more and more about just what he brought as a Finnish guy, as a guy that understood psychology, as a guy that just helped pioneer different things. And one of the things is you hear about being openly gay, especially in the pro wrestling, which is, at more times than not, is more conservative and more macho, which probably created some issues for him and probably led to some of the more nasty things being said about him. He left an indelible mark on pro wrestling, and this has got to be a very hard time for Vince and the McMahons as a whole, considering how close Vince was with Pat Patterson. But you just see him sing the karaoke at a Starcast, and just how much fun he was having, and just all the stories you hear from all the other wrestlers. There's not too many negative things being said about Pat Patterson, and that just speaks to the legacy he's left behind. He's definitely left an indelible mark. He lived a long life. And he definitely contributed, and it will always last what he gave, because the Royal Rumble's not going anywhere. And when people think of good finishes, they'll think of Pat Patterson.
There's somebody they really miss. They've missed that guy since he's kind of, you know, I mean, because he was never completely gone. He was occasionally around still, and they would talk to him about Royal Rumbles and that type of thing. So, I mean, he still had, you know, but as far as his regular presence backstage and being a finish man, you've really noticed in the last decade or so, really noticed how much they miss him without any questions. And him and Ray Stevens, boy, Patterson and Stevens, just unbelievable tag team, you know, worth tracking down and watching some of their stuff on YouTube.
Definitely. So RIP to Pat. It was kind of one of those things when you know, I guess we were kind of expecting it. And I will say, like, with the McMahons, you could tell it wasn't the typical kind of corporate tweet from any of them. Like, you could tell that one really hurt Shane and Steph. I mean, to them, that's a member of their family. And you know how close he was to Vince and to Hunter and to the McMahon family. He was, you know, one of the more important people. And Jerry Briscoe's tweet broke my damn heart, because he didn't even seem like he could really come up with the words. I wasn't even sure if maybe one of his sons wrote the tweet for him, because he didn't seem like Briscoe really could get out the proper words about anything. I missed the start of AEW. Did AEW do anything? Because I know NXT from pictures did the whole lineup with the Titantron and everything like that.
They did a shout out from JR on commentary for him.
Awesome. Fantastic. Yeah. So yeah, we'll show you something on SmackDown too. I'm sure SmackDown will do something at the beginning of the show. I know we're going to talk about AEW tonight. So RIP to Pat. I just want to say, as far as the WWE side, SmackDown's been a pretty good show. So I'm interested to see what they do on Friday. I don't know if you guys have any comments on that before we get to AEW at all. Nope. Okay.
I know it's been pretty good. I you know, I read about it. I'm not watching it, but I do read about it and follow. Yeah,
I'm watching top tens.
Yeah. I know it's been a pretty decent show.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to AEW. You guys want to talk about all the stuff before the big stuff, or do you want to just get to the big stuff?
Let's talk about the young upstart that debuted.
Yeah. Well, Sting debuted tonight, and I got to say, Tony Schiavone saying that, and that's the one, for me, that was my childhood right there. Yeah. I just had chills and flashbacks. I came, and for me, like, you guys are just watching the TV. I came home, the TV was on mute, and I was just going through stuff on my phone, watching a video from a colleague, because there was this John Wall and Russell Westbrook trade that happened, so I was just listening to a radio hit that I had to follow up on later. And then I poked my head up and I was like, oh shit, that's Sting. That's dope. And then I had to fast forward a little bit. So that's kind of how I looked at it. I didn't hear like the big, at Sting or anything at first. I had to kind of poke my head out, but I could just hear Schiavone saying it out loud in my head. So when I went back and then he did it, I was like, yes, he did it.
Yeah, I totally didn't see it coming. That's the thing about it is I wasn't even thinking about it. And the presentation was great. I mean, the thing is, I mean, and then they say, you know, he signed a multi-year deal. I mean, the guy, okay, you know, he's in his 50s. He's bald. He's broken down. But he's still got a presence. Like, he just has, like, when he's on the screen, he's just got that presence. He's magnetic. And he hasn't lost that. And, you know, it's the same way. You've seen that with a lot of the guys. When they get older, you know, if they have that presence, they don't lose it. And he's not, he has not lost it. He's not going to lose it. And I mean, I understand how he doesn't want to go out the way he went out in WWE. He doesn't want that to be the last memory. And if he's got a clean bill of health, you know, and he does a match or two, I hope it's not much more than that. But I mean, he's just got so much. Again, we talk about somebody who's just got the respect of the fans and the people in the locker room. It feels like it just gives, you know, I mean, I know he was in, you know, Impact Wrestling, TNA there for a long time, but it still somehow it feels like it gives a little gravitas towards AEW. Like, okay, got this Hall of Famer, and he's not like any Hall of Famer. He's a legit legendary character, like, you know, one of the most legendary characters, you know, I've ever seen. And him being there just feels like it gives them some, I don't know, just a little bit of, I don't know, you know what I mean, right, guys? I'm looking for the word, but it's just, it gives them that little extra
prestige. It's a major star. It's a superstar that, all respect to all those guys there, but it's the right superstar to have, and they were handling it the right way. It would be the same if Hogan just stepped on the floor, right? You just have that guy that is a defined Mount Rushmore wrestler in the panels of wrestling. It puts them on the map of being like, I hate to say this about AEW. It's like, oh, it's good enough for it. It's Sting thinks AEW is good enough for him. It adds the prestige is the right side. It adds that face of modern wrestling for the past handful of years to put a stamp on the company. And Jericho added that, but now having Sting adds another layer to it.
It adds another layer because Jericho's a legend, but you've never not thought of him as an active wrestler. Whereas Sting, you think of as a legend. You know, you think of him as, like, there's just a different aura about him. And prestige, that's really it. It just adds a level of prestige to the Federation, even though other people have, you know, even though he's been in other companies before. He hasn't been on TNT, and that Schiavone thing, I don't think they told Schiavone. I don't think they told any of them. When you listen to their reaction, like, beforehand, they're like, oh my God, you know, just kind of quietly. And you can hear them kind of mumbling to each other, like, what, you know? And then, because I went back and watched it a few times, rewound it and watched it a few times. And they were like, I think they were legit surprised. And when the fact that it was Schiavone who got really to make the call, that was perfect.
It was. It kind of gave me chills, and it was like, this is – and I like the winter is coming with him and the way the snowflakes fell. I don't want to see him wrestle. I made that very clear to Joel. I don't want to see him wrestle, but I'm really cool for him to kind of be – he signed a multi-year deal, so I wouldn't be shocked if we see one match in him. But, Joel, I'm interested in your thoughts.
I think this is a way to take Darby Allin to the next level potentially. And if you're bringing in any Hall of Fame legend like that, obviously, you're not putting them in the main title picture and making them the world champion, because that just, I don't think that works as well. And especially for someone of Sting's health and age, wouldn't be ideal to put him in any position like that. But having him being able to help a Darby, help add a little bit more to Cody, help add to Team Taz, add to Ricky Starks, add to Brian Cage, Will Hobbs, like, this is why you bring guys like these in. And it's even for the guys and girls that aren't on TV yet, that he can sit down and he can work with behind the scenes and talk to and explain, like, break down and pitch ideas that can help this is what I did as the Crow, and this is what I did in this era, and this is the knowledge that I have. So having him locked down for multi-years is a very solid thing. And it was interesting because his merchandise got like fire sailed on WWEshop.com about 2-3 months ago. And there were these rumors that Sting could be in AEW, and everyone was like, I don't want Sting there, I don't want Sting there, I don't want Sting there. And we all kind of saw Darby up sitting high up in the stands, kind of like what Sting would do, where Darby was just sitting there watching. And I was like, oh, okay, I could see some sort of Darby Allin Sting combo.
Remember I sent that as a message to you in Messenger?
Yeah.
When he was up in there, and I said, and him and his tag team partner Sting. I said it half jokingly, but futurist.
Yeah. And so you've got that, and then you're like, okay. But you forget about it. But the minute the first image was a Crow, I was like, yep, it's Sting. I knew right away the first image of the Crow, I was like, that's Sting. This has this feel of it. This is absolutely going to be Sting. And then sure enough, it was Sting. And you heard the crowd reaction. You heard the commentators. Everyone put this over big. And just the stare down with Darby and the extra attention put on Darby is helping to build Darby Allin forward.
I love the way he looked at Darby's face paint, then looked at him without the face paint, then looked back at the face paint. Very interesting. Very cool.
Yeah. And the connection between Cody Rhodes, who is now Cody Rhodes, he's got his name back, and the little stare down and the mention that was one of Cody's favorite wrestlers of all time with Sting. So that adds to the story potentially with Cody and Sting. And of course, dipping back into Arn Anderson and Sting in the past with that and talking about the final match that was on TNT until AEW showed up, of it being Sting versus Flair, and talking about history and not pretending like this is the first time he's appearance is just like I've got a bigger point on the post show, the main event angle that was ran. I have a big thought on that, but this just shows that AEW is slowly but surely not only coming into their own, but respecting wrestling history, not pretending that they're the only game in town, and giving credence to other places and acknowledging the history, which helps make every guy that they bring in a little more richer for the people that followed them. And it leads to,
you know what, Joel, even when they did the dog collar match and they brought in, you know, Greg the Hammer Valentine, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same idea. You know, not even just a person necessarily. It could be a match. It could be anything to celebrate the history and you know, to give it that extra little.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that get missed by some of the haters of AEW, that I feel like this, in a lot of ways, it's a moving forward, but I feel like they honor and respect the history of pro wrestling. They always look back. They have no problem looking at the past and finding ways to make that, using that for building blocks for the future. I think it is definitely, and it was very smart to do that before the main event. Very, very, very smart, because that created a massive amount of buzz and it could potentially lead to a rating bump for your main event, which is what you wanted. So doing that. And doing that at that point was big. I mean, in the time where the ratings do matter and your TV deal does matter, that's why the main event was that happened tonight. You have a surprise. So that is a risk, because maybe you don't get as much of a rating bump. But you also place it in a way that could lead to a rating bump and expose new fans to new guys. You suddenly see the main event and you go, oh, that's Dean Ambrose. Oh, that's Jon Moxley. Okay, cool. Oh, that's Kenny Omega. I've heard of him. And then it may rope in a few more fans that you're trying to grab. So there's nothing wrong with this. Even though Sting's time in the spotlight wouldn't be when you'd have for the main demo that you're chasing, it brings in fans that are you're trying to rope back in, because the more fans you bring in, the better ratings you're doing, and that just spreads like wildfire.
That was one of the things that Tony Schiavone said, is I bet a lot of the fans watching on here remember when he took on Flair in the last match. And I thought to myself, some will, some won't. I mean, it's interesting for a company that's reaching as many young people as WWE is, despite not having as big an audience, but is reaching people, you know, 18 to 30 and even younger at a level equal to or exceeding what WWE is already, to go with a guy that old. But again, kids love Sting. Kids will always love Sting. So, I mean, I'm not sure how many people. There's a lot of people who obviously know, you know, yeah. It will be. And I'm wondering what you guys think the rating is going to be for this show.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I
higher than NXT.
It will beat NXT. Yes, that is a safe prediction.
I think it'll do, because it wasn't going against any sport. This will be its last week not going against another sport, because the NBA will be, well, it's going against college basketball tonight, so I shouldn't be saying that. It's going against some big college basketball games, but I don't think that's a major competitor to it, but it is going against other sport. Next week will be going against the NBA again. I really am weirded out by why AEW drops during the holidays. That's always so weird to me, and that's why they lost again last week is the holidays. But I think 850 is my prediction. Maybe 900. I'm going to go with 850, though.
I think that's low. I mean, they're regularly able to do 850 anyways. Yeah. I understand why they – because their audience is younger, I understand why it is that they drop during the holidays. And they still win, though, the key demographics. They've never lost that, you know. So, but, yeah, I mean, I understand that during the holidays, that part makes sense to me, you know.
You had the Rockefeller people. Christmas tree, which I guess is a big deal in the States. It's not, we're in Canada. It's not as big of a deal to us. So I don't know how that does rating-wise. I know it's the reason that Pittsburgh and Baltimore didn't have the game in prime time.
Yeah. Either way, I don't think it makes much. I think they have a really good chance to. I know that there's going to be segments that draw over a million. Like, I'm positive they'll have segments that draw over a million.
I think the Sting thing probably brought an extra handful of viewers.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Because I think you get a lot of people messaging to their friends going, turn on the TV, Sting's on. Sting's on AEW. Or, you know, they see the Twitter or whatever.
Sting's the number one trend in the world right now, by the way, still.
Yeah, that's not a surprise. No. So, I mean, there'll be segments that I think the main event will do over a million, at portions at least. And I think that will do over a million. How much over a million? I don't know. But I expect them to, if 850 to 875 is what they'll do on a normal Wednesday, to say that they're just under a million, like 950 to 975, I don't think that's completely, you know, illogical. I don't know
this
if they'll get there, but it's possible.
For NXT, by the way, for the War Games, right?
What, yeah, was this it? This was the go home.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. You know, I'm watching AEW.
Yeah, I just kind of realized that.
It's not. That's, you know, obviously we know that the AEW would be doing over a million if regularly. I'm pretty sure we all can agree with that. If there was no NXT, they would probably hit seven figures pretty regularly. But yeah, I don't think, you know, I don't know. I don't think anything's going to. If anything, people are going to be turning away from NXT. It'll be a lot of those people who might be checking out Sting. And I think there was a lot of interest in that main event anyways. And again, the presentation of the main event, very well done.
I agree. Before we get to the main event, you guys have any other comments on the actual AEW show as its whole?
Not a whole ton. I mean, you know, like I say, the battle royal at the beginning was well done. Did push forward multiple storylines. The Jericho match was pretty sloppy in the second half, but the finish made sense and is kind of interesting. Yeah, that's about it. I mean, it's very interesting. No, you know, not a lot of promos, not a lot of backstage stuff this episode, not as much as they usually have.
All right, well, let's get to the main event then. Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega. I thought the match was okay. What did you guys think about the match? Because I don't even think the match is really what we're going to talk about. So I thought the match was fine.
I thought the match was fine. It felt like they're saving for the big pay-per-view match, because obviously based on how it ended, these two are not done with each other, and there will be another match between these two. I think the chair sitting and slapping one another was a little out of place. I think that was the one point where I was like, I don't know if this quite works. But I thought you saw the solid foundation that these two can go, and that these two have good chemistry against one another. And I think this was just leaving a few things in the tank for when you go to the pay-per-view match and you go all the way. And that to me is where I kind of think it settles, that this is just long-term going to the next, they've shifted a gear, and now that next match, they'll shift another gear. Cause you know, both guys do have another gear in them. And these two have worked well, and I think I've enjoyed when they've wrestled each other. They've had good exchanges, so I think that the next pit stop will be better than this. But I think this was a good precursor to get you ready for that next match, because it definitely defines the babyface and heel role. Because you saw at the beginning, the crowd was divided. Now you know who the heel is for sure, and you know who the babyface is, and then you can tell. I feel a better story in the third match between these two.
I enjoyed the match. I thought they told a good story until the end, which I was like, oh, I did not like the ending until I figured out where they're going post match. As a match itself, yeah, I thought it was very solid. Start off a little slow, built. There was a point where the crowd was chanting, "This is awesome," and I was like, "Yeah, this is fantastic." And then it started to get overbooked towards the end. And the overbooking, I was like, "You don't need this. These guys, just let them have a match and a clean finish, because it's, you can have a classic people can talk about for a long time." And I thought they were going in that direction, and they are capable of that. And this is clearly to set up a big match down the road on pay-per-view. With the angle there. So as far as a match, yeah, I mean, really good, but not as good as it could have been. I probably, like, I don't know, 3.5 stars, I'd probably go.
Yeah.
Something like that. About that, really, it was on its way to being 4 stars plus until
momentum.
Yeah, lost a little bit of momentum and the overbooking. Once that started happening, the overbooking rarely works. I mean, I talk about the sloppiness of the Jericho match. That was all because of the overbooking too. It's just, they overbooked the hell out of it. So I'm very, very interested though. I mean, that nobody's really going to be talking about the quality of the match because the angle is so interesting and so big.
Well, yeah. So let's get to it. Sorry, Joel, go ahead.
My take on the angle is this, even though it's Impact, and we all know what Impact TNA is. If you go through the roster, you can pick out a few
tag teams. I have the roster here that I'll share in a second.
You can pick a few people out from there that...
Ken Shamrock!
Yeah, here it is really quickly. Here's the roster. So by the way, just to kind of give an idea for those that are listening for the first time, the show ends with Kenny hitting Mox with a microphone to the head. V-Trigger gets the microphone from a botched fall-down job from his buddy, Jackal.
John Callis.
They run away. So they'll see you on Tuesday. Anyway, so here's the Impact Wrestling roster. Some of these guys I'm not familiar with, and I guess some of them we are. So let's just go with the people that we know. All respect to some of these young talent. There's just some we don't know. But names that might be recognized. Brian Major, Crazy Steve, Daivari, Dina Perdomo, Eddie Edwards, Eric Young,
Father James Mitchell is still there. Wow. Awesome. Hernandez is still there. Wow. Who? Hernandez is still there.
Oh, Hernandez is still there. Wow.
Heath Slater. Josh Matthews is still there. Conan, Ken Shamrock, the Motor City Machine Guns, Moose, Rhino, Rich Swan, Rosemary, Sammy Callahan, Suicide, Scott D'Amore, Swoggle, The Good Brothers, The North, TJP, Tommy Dreamer, Taya Valkyrie, Tennille Dashwood. Just to name the ones that are...
Yeah. You say Conan was there? I thought he was in Iran.
He's always in Iran. Yeah. So, and I'm sure there's towns here that we're not as familiar with that maybe we'll get to know a little bit more, but that's what we have right now.
I'm going to jump back in. We're going through the roster. Clearly, it's not something to brag. Arguably, you'd have more if this was Ring of Honor. Obviously, if it was Japan, it would be massive. Forbidden Door and all that. But the thing that I think you can take a look at is the working relationship with AAA, the working relationship with NWA, the working relationship with now Impact, and it seems to be a positive working environment with MLW. There seems to be not a lot of bad blood between those two, and there's a little bit of Court Bauer doesn't seem to say too many bad things about Tony, and Tony seems very open to working with everyone. I think the thing that you can look at for AEW is it'll always have a solid roster. But when you can have a guy from Impact wrestle, maybe a guy from the NWA or an NWA female wrestler wrestle a female from Impact, you suddenly become a place where potentially you could have dream matchups or new rivalries born, and it's all put under the AEW umbrella. So to me, I look at this as well, that the angle and the mic and everything, I was a little like, I'm not a fan of this. But when you look at what the potential could be and the mindset of, I want to work with other companies, I want to do things, I want to try something different, this is something that we haven't really seen before. Like, this is usually the person owns the whole of the companies involved and plays pretend. And it's like, oh, WCW is invading us, guys. Who would have guessed? Oh, you mean I own them and I'm paying all their salaries? Oh, well, that's a surprise to me. This creates a potential for having a different talent float in, and it feels a little reminiscent to having something like the territory days, where you could have someone like, say, TJP come in and wrestle Darby for the TNT title. And then TJP can go back to doing his thing. It's kind of similar to what New Japan has with the Super J Cup, because they have a guy from Impact, they have guys from Ring of Honor, and then they have their New Japan roster. So it's something similar to there. It just shows, I think, the way I look at this is I'm very curious about where this goes, but this creates suddenly a conversation about other wrestling territories. And it all leads back to one company, which is AEW, which is what you want. You want it to lead back to AEW. You want the spotlight ultimately to be on AEW. And if you can get a way to have a tag team like the North or Motor City Machine Guns to wrestle the Young Bucks and wrestle FTR, that creates some matchups that you're like, oh, shit, this is great to see. Like, I'm into this. Let's keep stuff like this going. And maybe this leads to the Land of the Rising Sun wanting to play nice with AEW. And the possibilities are endless. But I look at this as a positive for pro wrestling. This potentially opens the door for more cross-promotion and potentially leads to goodwill among some promoters. Obviously, you're not going to always have goodwill, and there can be issues, hiccups, and all sorts of shenanigans that happen. But I want to look at this as a positive, and this could definitely lead to something better for everyone involved. And hey, Impact finally gets Kenny Omega, so
can they get Okada too?
Wouldn't that be great?
It's a different Impact. I mean, the difference is I'd love to see the numbers in Canada. I don't know where it airs in the States. I can't tell you anymore. I've lost track.
It was the place that New Japan was airing.
Access?
That network. Yeah, Access, yeah.
Right. It's not Twitch anymore because of RVD. RVD got Access. Them banned. I'm interested to see in Canada you get it on the Fight Network. I can assume here no one here is going to pay the $2.99 to have Impact next week.
Don't assume. I might.
I'm debating it too. I'm not going to lie. I'm debating it.
I don't know if
well.
I would stay with it, but
yeah,
you know, I'm considering it for that price. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, maybe.
Would Impact Plus be the way to watch the programming live?
I don't think so. At least not in Canada. I don't think so. I don't think it's live. But we have to look into it. I mean, again, Impact Wrestling is being completely off everybody's radar for so long. Even though I've heard it's pretty good product now, and even though it has different people and good people running it, and you know, it's just like, okay, well, it's just off everybody's radar and completely forgotten about. I mean, this is significant. We're not talking about some wrestler showing up. We're not talking about, you know, freaking Brandon Cutler showing up in Impact. We're talking Kenny Omega, now the world heavyweight champion, making his first appearance with the title on another company's television. That's huge. That doesn't happen. Remember when Punk got the title and he went away and we thought, well, maybe he'll defend it on some like smaller shows and stuff to get the angle over. And, you know, he showed up at one smaller show, but didn't, you know, cut a promo and didn't do anything really. And it never happened. I won't call it a game changer, but it is potentially just, we've never seen Invasion Angle done, for instance, right in North America between two real companies. You know, I mean, we've seen it done right for a short time in WCW, but it was all one company. I mean, we've never actually seen two companies feuding or anything like that properly done in North America for a long time.
Invasion, Mo.
We've never seen two companies in North America. You know, so it's new, but it also, yeah, it really speaks to Tony Khan. Tony Khan's not doing this. Like, does AEW get benefit from this? Sure, probably to some degree. But if they didn't do this,
they get to have the Good Brothers match against the Bucks and against the Revival, and they get to have the Young Bucks versus the Good Brothers match in the versus the North.
Yeah, there's a little bit. You know, there's a little
and
bit.
You get Deonna Purrazzi. You get Taya Valkyrie. So, and you get Rosemary, so there's other additions for their women division. I mean, it sucks they're helping their women division, getting women from NWA and Impact, but nonetheless, they're helping their Impact division. And Tennille Dashwood's also in Impact, so they're continually helping their women division.
That doesn't suck, because the truth is that there is a lesser talent pool, a smaller talent pool for women, so I mean, you do what you can to shore it up.
It's getting better, though. It's getting better.
Yeah, it's getting better. But I mean, this is like I say, they don't. If they didn't do this, they still would be drawing, and they still would have had Sting tonight, and they still would have had that match if they did a regular finish or even a heel turn for Kenny. If they didn't do this, they'd still have a lot of momentum, and they'd still be doing very well in the demographics and be bringing in new fans. Like, they don't really need this. I mean, I'm not saying they don't benefit at all. I'm saying but they don't really need this. They don't benefit as much as Impact Wrestling is going to benefit.
Yeah, is this the biggest thing? Sorry, Morin. Is this the biggest thing in Impact Wrestling history in 6 years? Like, since AJ's left the company?
I think so, easily. Since AJ's left the company, I'd say easily, yeah. Like, it's you know, they're going to benefit from this. Just like NWA is benefiting more from having their belt on AEW. You know, I mean, it's good for AEW because they have better women's wrestling. But, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I think NWA has benefited more and would benefit more to continue that partnership. And that's the thing is, so I was saying is they're not really doing this. Like, when I look at this, I think this looks to me like Tony Khan saying, hey, I'm a fan first. And as a fan, what would I want to see? And let's do what the fans want. Let's give the fans what they want to see. And it's not a business first thing. It's a let's give the fans what they want to see. And it's pretty damn cool. I think it speaks a lot to that company. I mean, yes, it's embarrassing when JR says, we're in Jacksonville, home of the Jags, and they've lost 10 straight. But, you know, other than that, other than the fact that you can't obviously run a football team, you can run a very good wrestling company, Tony Khan.
Yeah, I like the reaction that Tony had when they went by. I thought that was a very simple thing. They've used Tony as a figure in the right ways.
Yeah.
I remember when TNA came along, they're like, well, never using Dixie Carter, ever! And then all the stuff with Dixie just got terribly bad.
Oh, man, by the end when she's in all the angles and on television, yeah. And that's when people are like, she's a money mark. They're writing her on TV so she won't sell the company because she's a mark.
Yeah.
And you know, going through the table from the Dudleys and Team 3D and everything, and like, oh.
Bringing the Survivor terrible. Person on that had the worst match that I've ever seen in my life against... You know, was that against Charmel?
Yeah, Charmel, was... Jenna Marowski. Oh, my God. Oh,
so bad. Oh,
and her X-rated ring entrance as well. Oh, the whole thing was a nightmare.
The problem is, I have a lot of PSD, like PSD, I can't even pronounce it correct. I just have a lot of damage from watching Impact. Like, you know, you pull your hair out watching...
Yeah.
Thank you. I have a lot from Impact when I just think about stuff.
I know.
Sting and Abyss in the casket. I was thinking of this was happening.
Oh, man.
Like throwing.
But it's different. That was TNA. Different. This is Impact Wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's lineage between them, but they're not the same company.
Oh, I know. I just have when I think about that, I'm like, oh my God, there's so many bad things.
God, Russo.
There was so much good stuff too. I don't want to knock it. There was some good stuff, and I like you were saying, Mo.
Aces was awesome for a while.
Yeah, D'Lo's back there. D'Lo's a major part of the company, so that's a bonus for me because I love to see D'Lo. So that's huge.
Did you guys, speaking of D'Lo, I lost my train of thought. It just completely blanked.
That's okay.
I was trying to extend. I'll come back.
It'll come.
Okay. But I think it's who do we want to see Ken Shamrock versus anyone in AEW?
No.
Apparently Ken he's Shamrock, suspended for 30 days though.
RVD I think has enough star power. Yes, once.
I think he's gone though.
Is he?
I think he got fired.
You think after the Twitch thing he got fired?
Yeah, it sounds like he got fired.
Okay. Oh, then Moose
would be interesting. Moose for some people would be interesting. Rich Swann would be interesting. Sammy Callahan versus a lot of people would be interesting. Tommy versus Mox and just go crazy match. Sure.
Be interesting.
Yeah. So and I don't know who plays Suicide Squad. Oh, they also have Madison Rayne there still. So they do have women's wrestlers there still.
So is TJP doing double duty and playing himself and Suicide? Since he was Suicide.
Know.
He was Suicide.
He was the original Suicide.
Yeah. I think the original Suicide was Chris Daniels. And then I think
I was going to say. Because then when Chris Daniels was super. No, who was he with the.
Curryman.
When he was Curryman.
I love Curryman.
I did too. Curryman was great. Yeah. Yeah. And he was Curryman. Then TJP was that. I wouldn't mind a Shark Boy come back either. Shark Boy would be great. I actually kind of always like Shark Boy.
Stone Cold Shark Boy?
What? Yeah. And Eddie Edwards is there.
There's some good memories from TNA.
Oh, there's some really good ones. There's some bad and there's some good.
Yeah, there's some bad. There's some bad.
Oh, yeah.
Motor City Eddie... Machine Guns coming down to the ring with a blow-up doll. Bad. Bad.
Barbed wire. Anything with Kevin Nash and the Cruiserweights?
Oh, bad. Well, actually, the one the one
Jay Lethal
backstage pro with Kevin Nash talking about how he was the greatest rating draw of all time when he was WWE when he was okay. That was hilarious. But other than that, it was
terrible. That wasn't bad.
But yeah, that's Roberts. So Jake Roberts ruined my wedding. Yeah, Jay Lethal doing that. That was great stuff. Like I have. If I watch, I could probably focus more on, like I say, there's bad, there's barbed wire Christmas trees and all sorts of stuff.
Flair and Foley's last match ever.
Oh, terrible. What about the
Daphne
going
into the barbed wire?
What about the time that they had the electrified cage, but it wasn't electrified? They had to do the Oh, so terrible.
The blindfold match. The blindfold match.
The bad thing is those guys had a follow-up match that was killer the next month, and still nobody remembers because the blindfold match was so bad. Oh, classic. There's good and bad here.
So you've gotten in. So they've got – so AEW's got business with – Jeff Hardy being
drunk and facing Sting.
Okay.
Or not even drunk. I don't know what he was.
The worst.
And then the weird, like, what was the group they had with, like, Jeff and Hogan and Abyss?
Main Event Mafia?
Immortal.
Oh, Immortal. Yeah. And didn't they have, terrible. Like, a title for them?
They had, like, that weird Jeff title, and it was really bad looking. It looked like the Divas Championship.
Willow.
There's a lot of, I mean, you go there and then you've got Joe and Kurt, AJ's theme song.
Like, yeah, that three-way is still one of the best matches I've ever seen with Joe, Daniels, and AJ. The Joe and Kurt match was great. I mean, that's where Nigel really has some of his best matches ever as Desmond Wolfe. Like, the Desmond Wolfe and Kurt feud was fantastic.
No, there was lots of good and lots of bad.
Yeah.
Lots of good and lots of bad. Depending. You'll notice most of the good stuff we're mentioning is when Russo was gone, in the periods where he was fired, and then the bad stuff is, you know.
So
it's Russo or Hogan booking.
Yeah. Bro. Oh, yeah. The Hogan.
AJ being Minnie Flair thing.
Bro. Let me
having
tell
the nasty
you something.
Bro, having the Nasty Bros come down, that was really bad.
Terrible. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bro,
that's Scott Hall.
This means Tony owns Impact now. That's the only reason this is happening. This is the second show. Impact and Tony together.
Did you hear about the WCW thing that was going to
happen? Yeah, that's sounds terrible. Like that, it can't be real. Because a production company came out today and said, we had one email from this person. And there's nothing more from this, and we will not be involved with them. And then this WCW 2021 came out and said, we've decided we're going with another production company to produce WCW Greed, because apparently copyright laws only work in halves. So WWE has half the WCW copyrights, and this company has access to the other half of the WCW copyrights.
Interesting.
Well, you can't do WCW without Sting. You can or Flair, so they have to get both of those. And Flair is already multi-year with WWE. Sting is multi-year now with AEW, and so I don't think you can have a WCW revive without either.
I don't think you want that, honestly.
I don't want it either.
I mean, even not just us, it's just in general. If you're, you know, I don't think that there. Some things are best left dead, you know. Yeah. Something so sometimes the past should be the past, needs to be the past.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, towards the end, it's funny because the ratings are, you know, much better than Raw's are now. Mm-hmm. But towards the end, I mean, the reputation of the company was so bad that, you know, we talk about the bad reputation of TNA, and yes, it was there. The bad reputation of WCW was much worse, especially because more people were paying attention. I mean, you want
to
talk about
Dusty having to kiss a fucking ass's ass. Or was it Jeff Jarrett that had to do that? I think it was Jeff that had to do it when he went against Dusty and Dustin.
Yes.
To kiss an actual horse's ass, Flair in the insane asylum.
dancing with the nurses. There's so much bad in that last year.
The best bad moment of all time. The most terrible thing ever, but the best thing ever. Rick Steiner and Chucky.
Yeah. That's bad. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Sid, do you guys ever read the Death of WCW book by Brian Alvarez and Artie Reynolds? Because that's awesome.
No, a long time ago I did.
The Sid coming out and saying to so what was it he said? If I was half the man as you are and had,
half the brain.
Or something like that.
My favorite Sid is, what happened to my car? Oh, my God. Goldberg.
Makes William Shatner seem like a thespian. Subtle. See, there was great stuff there too, but it was terrible stuff too.
I love reminiscing about the terrible wrestling now, though.
Reminiscing about the terrible stuff. Oh man, we should do a show just on that. I can't wait to watch. I'm definitely got to see Rick Steiner and Chucky again, because this.
Saw it actually, because WWE put it on their YouTube page during Halloween.
Oh.
Sorry, I had a good laugh about it. I guess kind of getting back on topic to wrap things up here. With this partnership, it's like you said, it's not exactly Japan that we want to see or anything like that. I wish WWE would get it.
I do agree with Joel on that. I think this could lead to a continuing. I want to see everybody work together, including WWE, but that'll never happen. Yeah. But not if everybody was working against it, boy, that would be the coolest.
Well,
if Hunter was in charge, I could see WWE maybe doing it. Kenny
has come out and said in his interview with Meltzer, he said, I'd love to work with WWE. I'd love to wrestle AJ and Seth and do something with the New Day. It'd be fantastic. I'd love to work together with everyone. And just, I think that speaks to the mindset of AEW, because that's one of your EVPs. And I think the other EVPs share a similar mindset. And very clearly does Tony, because Tony wouldn't be doing this if he didn't want to work with Impact. So it's one of those things that I think ultimately this is just more beneficial for pro wrestling. You could make WrestleMania the showcase of a ton of different other things.
If WWE did this, here's the argument for it. Here's the argument against, obviously, is that they have these huge television deals, are making record profits, and don't need to do it. Here's the argument for it, and very simply, you're down to 1.6, 1.7 million watching and 2 million people, a little over 2 million people on Fox, far below the expectations. Your network subscriptions haven't taken off to the level which everything was said. Your stock has continued to fall. If they did this, network subscriptions or pay-per-view buys, whatever they did with WrestleMania, go through the roof. The ratings would start to climb. Without any question, just like they'll climb for Impact here. How much, I don't know, but they'll climb. But if they were working with the other companies, I guarantee you it would have people that were dejected and left that audience that we talk about, that is
the lapsed fan.
Jaded, the lapsed fan. It would be something to bring them back. And you would see their ratings climb significantly, and if you're doing good enough shows, hold. So there's a strong argument for them doing it, but I think we all know like you say, as long as there's an old man in the way, it's not happening.
And he's not going anywhere.
Nope, his mother's doing. He is old. You saw him in the Undertaker thing. Dude looked a million years old.
His
mom's still alive.
Yeah, there was an image of a Ronald Reagan puppet, and his face was all like hanging basically off, and it's like, oh, he looks like the Ronald Reagan puppet now. Like this is the state that Vince is in. Like, he is definitely years of bumps, steroids, and whatever else Vince has done in his spare time.
Not sleeping.
Okay. Not sleeping. Yeah. All of it.
All those sneezes.
Vince McMahon
and
is quoted as the only person who is saying, I'm the only person in the world that can do cocaine regularly and not get addicted to it. That's a quote, an actual quote from him. So,
Yeah, I do think if Hunter was in charge, he would potentially look at the business in a different way. Because I think he does, but until that happens, we're not going to know. I mean, that entirely changes the business in a dire way. The thing is, the WWE's never really worked with any other company outside of the early 90s when they did do the stuff with, you know, Carlos Colon. They did some AAA stuff, and they did the New Japan scene. Look at the Rumbles in 92, 93, and you get Tenryu.
Well, they worked with Smoky Mountain Wrestling a little bit.
Yeah.
They used them as a territory, you know, even before it became Ohio Valley Wrestling. They used them there. They did have the ECW
Yeah, that was the biggest one, I guess.
They had the Raw Invasion that, you know, was a joke. But that's the problem is you talk about Hunter saying, yeah, maybe he'd do it, but it would never be just Hunter. You know, I mean, there's so much red tape involved and so many different people in power positions in that company. I mean, it's so
too protective.
I don't think it would ever happen, but you could make a strong argument for why it would. You know, if you think you have record profits now, imagine what they'll be if you started to actually get some momentum.
Yeah.
If you just had a Kenny Omega come out during a Royal Rumble and then the next day you start the buzz.
If he came out and if he came out and surprise entry and eliminated AJ. And leading to a WrestleMania match. Do you know how massive that would be?
Yeah.
And the thing
especially if he's not working there, it's even bigger.
Yeah.
The other big thing with that is it's really good business for AEW because then you have that match. You have that match at Mania, and then you can do the return match at Double or Nothing in May, which is basically a month after. You do it on the two biggest shows for both respective companies. You have Kenny get a win at WrestleMania, AJ get a win at Double or Nothing, and then everyone goes home happy. You split it, you make it nice and simple, you make sure both guys go 50% at Mania and 50% at, they'd probably go all out, and they'd be able to tell an incredible story. But even imagine having something like building enough buzz for someone like Japan to show up, like having
how about the Bucks coming in and taking on New Day?
Yeah, and then you do a New Day versus the Elite would be a banger of series of matches. Like they would just kill it, and it would be incredible. Like there's more. You're absolutely right. The ratings would spike. I'd tune into Monday Night Raw suddenly. If you suddenly had Kenny eliminate AJ. And I mean, the other thing is, with all of this is, these are all predetermined wins and losses. You can find a way to make sure.
Which has always been the problem with companies working together. Not wanting their guys to be the one doing the job. But you could see how there's a different mindset about winning and people like the Bucks and Kenny and people like that, they have a different mindset about winning. So I don't think it'd be an issue.
Here's something to throw out there. Just imagine having John Moxley, shift Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if he came back and did that, you know, that'd be massive.
It would do massive amounts of money for both companies because.
Well, when they had the entrances, I had this thought in my mind of how crazy would it be if Kenny came out and he's like, I don't trust John Moxley. He's a thug. He's no good. I needed to bring someone to back me up. And he brings out the Good Brothers with him, for example. And then Mox like, well, I thought you would do this, so I brought some brothers of my own. And then he brings out Seth and Roman. How crazy would that be?
That would be the most insane thing. That would be the most... Oh. Yeah, we're fantasy booking now, but I mean, I want it so bad.
Well, you bring up the Good Brothers. That I'm still unsure on the finish of the match. That's almost a better way to end it is... what is their finisher called? Dream Killer, I think it's Dream Killer.
Had Magic them, Killer.
Magic Killer. Do Magic Killer to Moxley, and then get the win that way. You can have Callis distracting. You can have Kenny laid out in the out on the heater, and then you can have
the Good Brothers take care of it, and then you create a whole other new vacuum of storylines where maybe you have the Bucks teaming with Moxley to take on the Good Brothers and Kenny, because they're like, what are you doing, Kenny? Why'd you do this? And you can reference the Bullet Club, obviously, and you can talk about the history there. There's a lot that you could do.
There's people that were in Impact, like, you know, I mean, I'm sure that the Ortiz and Santana, the idea of them showing back up in TNA, where they left, like, I'm sure that they'd be excited by that. Yeah, when you start, I mean, it becomes fun talking about wrestling. I get excited when I start thinking about fantasy booking in between the companies, interpromotional stuff. Like, it gets me excited, which is something that, frankly, they have kind of dropped the ball on and lost. You know, I used to fantasy book all the time. I used to sit there right before I'd go to bed. I'd be like, yeah, I can't sleep. I'll fantasy book something. Maybe I'll fall asleep doing that. Been forever since I've done it, but this makes me want to do it again.
Mm-hmm. That, I mean, you think about it. You think about the state that WWE is in, and you think about some talent that could be gone and out the door sooner rather than later for that company. And you go, this creates a whole new possibility for a guy like Finn Balor, a guy like Ricochet. Like, these guys don't have to sign with AEW to work an AEW show now. It feels like there's an openness.
And we're not even talking about New Japan yet. Man, if New Japan and WWE could work together,
Tanahashi and Cena at Mania. It's literally printing money.
It's literally printing money.
Because even for the casual, that's not a match for the casual fans. That is for the hardcore fans that spend their hard-earned money to go to a WrestleMania. Those are the fans that are going to go and flood a city. Because, I mean, you look, like, I remember when I was at Mania, and I don't know what it was like for you, but it felt like there was a lot of more hardcore fans. Were a lot of kids, but there were a lot of hardcore fans at Mania, and that's who you're kind of targeting to get a sold-out MetLife Stadium, or a sold-out whatever stadium you're in. Tanahashi versus Cena is the money match. You close the show out. You can have a combination of Kevin Kelly and Michael Cole calling the action. You can have that match on New Japan World and WWE.
Like, if you did New Japan and WWE and they came together for a WrestleMania card, you know, they could legit sell out the stadium in Dallas instead of having to give us a work number.
Yeah.
They could legit sell over 100,000 tickets instead of working the number did that. The same thing for a Tokyo Dome. They could legit, if they were working with them, legit sell out the Tokyo Dome two nights in a row.
I would consider going to Dallas. I'd consider going to the Tokyo Dome. I would consider both. Even post-pandemic, I'd be like, yeah, I'd go to Dallas. That sounds like a hell of a time. Cause, I mean, you have a guy like Okada. You have a guy like Suzuki. You have Naito, Ibushi. There's so many stories that you could play off of, and especially a guy like Ibushi who had done the Cruiserweight Classic. So there is a little bit of a story there that you can plug in. You can have Sonata. You can have Evil. You can have Jay White. There's a lot of different things you could do that would make genuine money. That's why I think this combination, while it to some people it will be small and be like, oh, who cares? This is opening the door for something that could potentially be better future pro wrestling.
Jay White and Seth Rollins? Oh, I'd be so excited for that.
Yeah. Who would you pair? Last question before we were too far gone. Who in WWE faces Okada?
Brian.
Is it Brian? Like it
would have to be Roman.
Yeah, I'm thinking Roman too.
Yeah, I think because he's their Okada.
I mean, I'm not going to be hating. I mean, Roman has shown the last 4 months that he is great in the ring. He's great emotional. He's great on the stick. But I would say if we had to, like, say, like, you had to do it in the next 6 match months or something,
you're right.
I would match do Brian wise. Because I don't know how much he has left.
Match-wise, Okada and Brian, for the hardcore fans, you're right. But if you're looking at it from a purely money standpoint, you'd go Roman Reigns and Okada.
Yeah.
I mean, you've already sold me. Who do you have, Suzuki? Can you just have Brock versus Suzuki?
By the way, that Rainmaker into a Superman punch or a spear would be unbelievable.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
I think I know what the next podcast we're gonna do.
Fantasy book podcast, and looking at the funny stuff from the past.
Before we get out of here, really quickly, sorry, just since we're not gonna be talking about it, just I really thought we'd quickly preview War Games, just at least the matches on here. So you got Timothy Thatcher versus Tommaso Ciampa. They're probably just gonna beat the hell out of each other. You have a strap match with Dexter Lumis versus Cameron Grimes. You have a triple threat for the NXT Championship with the surprise champion, Leon Ruff, versus Johnny Gargano and Damian Priest. That should be fun. You have the women's war game match, which is Team Shotzi, which is Shotzi Blackheart, Ember Moon, Rhea Ripley, and Io Shirai, and Team Candice, which is Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez, and Toni Storm, who recently turned heel because WWE doesn't know how to build baby faces, even NXT now. And then for the men's war game match, you have Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong, Bobby Fish, the Undisputed Era, against Pat McAfee, Pete Dunne, and Danny Burch, and Oney Larkin.
So I think this is Undisputed's last match in NXT.
I think you're right.
I think just based on things, the video package that they played, about this, I feel like this is the end of Undisputed Era in NXT, and I don't know what happens next for them. Obviously, you're going to have to sign a contract to go up to the main roster, and I don't know how.
For Rhea too. I think Rhea is getting called up as well.
Rhea Ripley, you mean, or?
Yeah, Rhea. Sorry, I think Rhea is getting called up as well.
I just don't know. I don't know if Cole wants to sign the contract. I'm very curious to see.
That's the thing. I don't know.
And I mean, what are you doing with them right now?
Joe, what are you talking about? They're going to face Slapjack and T-Bar.
Well, they're going to feud. Well, I mean, we found out that there's quite a few QAnon and COVID is fake people in NXT and WWE locker room. So, and Bobby Fish is apparently
really one. I hadn't heard this.
Yeah,
Bobby Fish is one of them.
Yeah, and you remember
Bronson
the one
that stepped? Who's the big dude? The Bronson dude. He went on his Twitter tonight, and you could tell he's had some conversations, and he's losing his shit backstage.
Wow.
Like yeah. Nia Jax apparently put a few things on social media that is anti.
Bronson Reed's
a moron.
Who else? There was this referee.
You know, she had COVID. It was just one more way that she could injure somebody.
So Bronson Reed just added this after like a big run tonight. Who I really do, I've really enjoyed Bronson Reed. He said, "It truly astounds me the amount of people every day that refuse to listen to the medical professionals that we have in the backstage. I've been lucky enough to speak with doctors and nurses as of late. They've all said to me that they wish people would just listen, and I wish they would do the same as well." Mm-hmm. And he's been on a tear of the backstage lately.
I think there's a lot of problems behind the scenes in WWE. Yeah. I think as fun as it is to fantasy book, when you come back to reality, I think they've got a lot of rot and they've got a lot of issues that can't be solved overnight. And it would make it, I mean, the thing is, there's a lot of money to be made, but if you hear enough of these stories, how much do you really want to work with them?
Oh, well, we didn't say anybody. Are you saying in the locker room? And are you hearing this about people in the front office as well?
Well, I'm sure.
I mean, Kevin Dunn was not thrilled initially that people were wearing masks, and they recently laid off the. He's the editor director, and he was like in charge of technology and everything. And they asked him about what it was like working with Kevin Dunn on this AMA on Reddit. And his comment was, if you can find a way to work with Kevin Dunn, it's smooth sailing for you. And I just, that line stuck out to me. And it's just very, you hear a line like that, and it's like, you have to find a way to work with Kevin Dunn. And it's like, that just puts little alarm bells in my head of going, I wouldn't want to work there. I'm going to try to cater to someone like that. And being like, if I screw up and this person just doesn't like me, then I'm SOL in my job. I'm not a fan of that. And like hearing some of the comments that Dunn would say over the headset, I'm not going to repeat some of them on air because I'm not a fan. It just,
you have to tell me off air.
Yeah, so I'll tell you off air. But they, it just, it makes me really wonder about the state. And I mean, there's a lot of, there was a report a couple days ago that had come out saying that Hunter being backstage put a lot of minds at ease, because apparently dealing with Pritchard has become stressful for a lot of talent, and a lot of talent are nervous and don't know where things are headed, and feel that if you, Pritchard basically has Vince's ear. Whatever Pritchard says is felt that that goes. So if you piss off Pritchard, then you're in trouble. And being around Hunter apparently alleviated some of the guy's stress. And it's just, you're in a situation now where you can't afford to lose any talent.
Any really quick, guys. Sorry, Joel. ESPN, I just got this from some buddies. ESPN showed the Sting thing on SportsCenter.
That's big.
And they put it on their Twitter as well, which is interesting, just the deal they have with WWE.
That's big. Very interesting.
Yeah, on the actual ESPN Twitter, you can find it as well.
Too bad. And you notice how ESPN isn't putting on Omega winning the title. They're putting on Sting. There's the draw. There's the value of having that guy.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Joe, sorry, finish your comments there. Sorry, buddy.
It's in a state now where you're hearing more and more stories about people being unhappy. And you hear Aleister Black just sounds like he's just going to be sitting there doing nothing. Like, that's just, at some point you got to think that you're, look at how excited we were about fantasy booking and what started all this was Impact and AEW. And what AEW is doing with AAA. What AEW is doing with NWA, what AEW could do with this company, and DDT, and everything along those lines. Like, the possibilities are endless. Whereas WWE, it feels like all the possibilities are just being choked out. Look at how long it took to get Roman Reigns to the level. And we haven't recorded a show since everything happened with Zelina Vega. And you look at the state that has left the company, and there's so many other little things that have happened. You got people that are Bronson Reed at his wit's end, and that's because of people backstage. You've got someone like Bruce Pritchard that's in charge, that's leaving their employees feeling very uncomfortable suddenly.
The things that he could do when he was in charge, and he was in charge of a lot of things in the 80s, the way you could treat employees is not acceptable today. Including wrestlers.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're in a state now where, and I don't know where this company is headed in a couple of years, because they're not going to go anywhere right away. But boy, oh boy, are they're constantly finding a way to turn away. Look at how hard Mustafa Ali is trying to make Retribution work. He is dragging a dead horse right now. Look at Roman. Look at everything that's happened with Roman. Roman is at this point because he is doing his thing. It's not the company being like, here's your scripts, pal. We're going to get you to read all these. Suffer and succotash. Roman is finally, I feel like Roman finally is just like, I'm going to do this myself. Like Thanos grabbing the Infinity Gauntlet, like, fine, I'll do it myself. And it's worked. Drew has worked, but I feel like that's Drew McIntyre. I don't feel like he's a thing that's being spat out at me by the company, the corporation. You're in a point now where if I'm Adam Cole and I'm the Undisputed Era, I'm looking at that main roster going, what's my spot? Where am I going?
not only would NXT be dead, but that's the exact, you said it perfectly. He goes up to the main roster. It's boys. He's small. Even guys we've seen go up there with, they're good for 2 weeks and then they're Vince is one of the major problems with Vince is, maybe the biggest problem with Vince is, he doesn't look at somebody and say, what are their strengths? Let me see their strengths and hide their weaknesses. But let me focus on their strengths. He looks at people and says, this is your weakness, and doesn't even look at the strength. He just looks at what's weak. He looks at Matt Riddle and says, he says bro too much. So that's a weakness. So we can't push him. Like, that's all it takes.
Well, there's Keith more Lee's reasons fat. Not to push Riddle, but that's besides the point.
He looks at Keith Lee and says he's fat. Yeah. Let's cover him up.
Yeah. That's yeah. He's always looking at the weaknesses and focusing
on Ricochet didn't do what I wanted him to do in that Brock match, so fuck him, I'm done.
And by the way, I know there's other reasons for not pushing Riddle, but make no doubt about it. If those didn't exist, because he says bro, he would not be getting pushed.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. We were all very high on Riddle before things started to come out.
Look how long it took for Bobby Lashley to get where he is. It literally took MVP warming his way to the top and getting in Vince's ear and saying, like, let me just handle these guys. And Vince being like, sure. It took MVP to reestablish Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
That was not Vince or Bruce Pritchard or anybody or Heyman. That was MVP's doing. This guy get over in a prior company, and now he's a big deal again.
AEW shown, and we see it when the guys have creative freedom. Yep. Better promos, better personalities. I mean, there's no doubt about
it. And it's coincidental that the Hurt Business and Roman are the two best for that in the company right now?
Nope,
because they have it there. Anyways, we could go down a rabbit hole with this. Everyone, thanks so much for listening to the One Fall podcast. Morton, you got a joke?
No. No, I'm sorry.
We had enough laughs at Impact anyways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go watch Rick Steiner and
Chucky. Yeah, exactly. All right, everyone. Thanks so much. Make sure you follow us on all the platforms that we have for the One Fall podcast. Check out everything at We Talk Podcast and Fresh Take. And until next time, folks, cheers and enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye. And good night. Bye.